Acts chapter 2 this morning. Certainly is good to be in church, and I hope you believe that song. There's nothing wrong with this book right here. If we read it and we find that there's something we don't understand, the problem is with our understanding and not with its content. I firmly believe that. Acts chapter 2. This is an exciting day for us here at Foundation Baptist Church. We're introducing the theme for the year and kind of where we're headed as a church and what God has laid on my heart as a theme for the year. And that theme is, if you've walked in and seen the new banner out there, it's continue. Continue. And it comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Let's go to the Lord this morning. Dear Father, as we come to you, Lord, we're thankful for what you've done in the past year. Lord, we're thankful for how you've helped us in this past year to lift up our eyes and to change some things and to set our affections and set our purpose on some things that were scriptural. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. And help us always to lift up our eyes and to see the lost and understand that is our commission as a church. But God, give us clear direction this year. And I believe you have from your word. And help us to be people of the word who believe it and live by it. Help us to be a church that's directed and ordered by your word. And we love you. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Churches all across this country are closing their doors. In 2021, Lifeway Research gathered some data and put out some articles concerning some numbers that they had researched back in 2019. In Christian churches, and of course it was a wide gamut of churches that were polled, and the information was taken from many different churches, many of which we would not consider to be like-minded in any way, shape, or form, but still churches by name in nonetheless. And they noticed a trend that was very disturbing, and it was this, that for the first time in their record and their taking and gathering of this information, for the first time in history, 2019 was the first year that the number of churches that were planted that year were less than the number of churches that closed up their doors and shut down. They were concerned by that and should be concerned by that, and we should be concerned by that as a church. And the director of Lifeway Research, which the article came from, he said this: "Over the last decade, the most denominations have increased the attention they are giving to revive existing congregations that are struggling. This has been more than a fad. This has been a response to a real growing need to revitalize unhealthy congregations." He goes on and says, "Certainly the pandemic will show even more challenging numbers. And though they may be a blip on the larger trend is concerning." He went on to say the U.S. population continues to grow, so there is a need for new churches to share the gospel with everyone. But even before the pandemic and before those numbers revealed that there were more that closed than started, he says the pace of the opening new churches and new congregations was not even providing enough replacement for those that closed their doors. The Hartford Institute for Religion Research, they did a study from the year 2000 to the year 2020, a 20-year study, and they took a section and polled some churches, and from the churches that they polled, they found that the median attendance for church attendance on Sundays in those 20 years dropped from a median attendance of 137 to 65. It's going the wrong direction, isn't it? Ryan Burge, a political science professor at Eastern Illinois University, in his book, The Nuns, it's a book talking about those that on these surveys would check the box non-religious or none whatsoever. He says boomers are about 20% of the nuns. Gen Z is about 45% of the nuns. He says, so you're seeing just this kind of slow wave sweep across America, he says. He himself is a pastor of an American Baptist church, and he believes, according to his research and study, that a third of the country's 350,000 Christian congregations are on the brink of extinction. One third of those. He continues to say, every year the pews are getting emptier, the collection plates are getting lighter. He says we're going to see thousands of churches closing in America over the next 20 to 30 years in every part of the country, in every region, and in every state, urban, suburban, and rural. I read an article concerning this problem that we're seeing in America and in Christianity in America. And they highlighted, in this article, they highlighted one church in particular. It was the First Christian Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And the title of their of this subsection to their article was, "We Knew It Was Going to Happen." And it says this, it's an imposing, speaking of their building, it's an imposing 125-year-old Roman Gothic structure in the heart of the city, located about an hour north of Tulsa. In 2018, Susan Payne arrived there as a transitional minister. I think we're seeing some problems here, but we'll continue on. She says two things stood out to her in her first visit to this 36,000 square foot building. She said this. One was a 100-year-old photograph labeled Sunday School that showed perhaps 1,000 people in attendance. She said another was when she asked to see the baptistry. When she asked to see the baptistry, they said, oh, well, it's this way, but we can't use it. It doesn't drain. And Payne recalled, for a church that baptizes by immersion, not to have a working baptistry, not to be very upset about it, that to me was kind of a metaphor for where the congregation was at that point. The church that once drew hundreds dwindled down to about 30 people for Sunday services by that time. It had already tried and failed on multiple occasions to merge with other congregations. Payne says the church still had, listen to this. Payne says the church still had about $1 million to draw on, and donations were fairly steady. However, after the congregation looked carefully at the financial situation, they realized, get this, that the money wasn't being used for the ministry and mission, it was being used to support a building. It was clear that staying open no longer made economic sense, she says. With some sadness, the congregation unanimously decided to close its doors, and its last Sunday service was held in April of last year. And you really don't have to spend time researching this problem in America. Really, you can just walk around with your eyes open and realize that this is a problem in America today. Churches are closing. Christianity in America is in the decline. And some of you know of or even come from churches that have disbanded, have closed down their doors. This is a reality in the day and age in which we live. And this morning, I want to challenge us. I want to provoke some thought this morning because we are not exempt from the possibility of closing down. We are not exempt, we are not immune from the cancer that has destroyed so many churches in America. And last I checked, this body of believers here that constitutes the Foundation Baptist Church is made up of sinners just like every other church in America. And so I guess the question is this morning, how do we, as a church, how do we keep the doors of Foundation Baptist Church open and running? There does come a time in the life cycle of a church where the church is no more. In fact, in Revelation 2:5, it says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I'll remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." And I'm afraid that there are some churches that might be closing their door today, but their candlestick has been long removed, and church service continues as normal. We're not exempt from this. We're not immune to this. So how do we keep from being one of the churches lumped into these statistics? How do we continue is the question. Continue means to remain in a state or place, to abide for any time indefinitely. We understand that. But I believe in the sense, the biblical sense we see here in Acts 2, it's more than that. It means to last or to endure, to be permanent, much as it says in 1 Samuel 13, 14, where God spoke to Saul through the prophet and says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." It was not going to last or endure, but it's even more than that. It's, I believe, continue in the biblical sense here in verse 42 of Acts 2 is to persevere, to be steadfast or constant in any course. To be constant in course. John 8:31 uses the word in this way. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." And so it's the idea of continuing and maintaining a constant course. And continuing as a church is not simply to exist or to be a placeholder. It's to advance. Did you catch that? Existing as a church is not simply to keep the doors from closing. It's not just to be a placeholder. It's not just to hold the fort, but it's to advance, continuing down the course that God has set us on. To continue in the course, to continue in the commission that God has given to us. I want to draw your attention to what the Bible says in Matthew 16, 18. It says, "And I say unto thee," this is Jesus speaking to Peter when he established his church, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." And it says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, the last I checked, gates were not an offensive mechanism. It doesn't mean that the gates of hell aren't going to come into our church and shut us down. That means that the gates of hell will not prevail against the attacks of Foundation Baptist Church. We ought to be on the offensive. We ought to be advancing on this commission, advancing in the course that God has set us in. I'm afraid the reason this morning that many churches are dwindling down to a close is that they see their role as being a placeholder rather than being an army that is to assault the gates of hell. If your goal as a church, if our goal as a church is to simply keep the doors open, that is a foolproof way to ensure that they don't. We say it in sports all the time, the best defense is a good offense. I read somewhere, I forget where it was, the church is not a hospital. And many of you have heard that analogy. Where someone would say, "Well, when I went to the church, it was a bunch of hypocrites." You say, "Well, the church is a hospital. There are people broken in the church." And that is true. But the primary function of a church is not to be a hospital. I like to put it this way, and this is not my own phrasing here, but I like the saying, the church is not a hospital. The church is a military unit with a hospital wing. We're to be advancing. And there may be times, and there will be times in each and every one of our lives that we need to go to the infirmary for a time. We need to heal. We need to regroup some things. We need to set some things straight. We are broken in a way, and we need the Lord to heal us and help us and grow us in some areas. But let me tell you, the reason that we need to get our things sorted out is so that we can get back to the front line and continue advancing on our commission and on the course that God has set us on. If we let our church be always on the defense, we are no longer continuing on the course that God has set us on. If we're to go out hiking and we get to the middle of the path and we're going on and I stop and I say, "I'm not leaving this path, I'm continuing." No, you're not. You're standing there. Just because you're holding your position doesn't mean you're continuing. In fact, it means the opposite. It means you're not continuing. You're not advancing. And if we're going to continue, it's going to be because we are advancing on the course that God has set us on. I think maybe we ought to sing a little bit more "Onward, Christian Soldiers" and a little less "Hold the Fort." Foundation Baptist Church, if we become a placeholder rather than an advancing army in God's commission, we are in danger of losing our candlestick, my friends. And the reason that many churches dwindle down to a close is that they see themselves as a placeholder, simply holding the fort. And let me tell you, not compromising is an important thing. We ought to be set and firm and digging our heels in the truth of God's word. But we understand when it comes to the function of the church, it's not the time to dig our heels in or put our head in the sand. It's a time to advance and assault the gates of hell. But another reason that many churches dwindle down to a close is that it's not that they're not moving in a direction, it's they've changed direction to move in a direction that is contrary to the course that God intends for them to go. Contrary. They depart from the biblical course that's set by Christ and His Word. And continue, we must. Yes, this is our theme for the year. We want to continue, but we must continue in the correct direction. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." This is his church. This is not Zach Ray's church. It's not your church. We call it our church because we take ownership and we see ourselves as a part of that, and that's good. But let me remind you, it's his church, and it ought to be run his way. And the strength, let me tell you this, the strength to assault the gates of hell was given to his church. And you shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the strength to advance is from Christ and from the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." The direction of the church, let me tell you this, the direction of Foundation Baptist Church is not dreamed up in a closed door meeting or hyped up by the pastor from the pulpit. The purpose and the direction for Foundation Baptist Church is found right here in God's word. In our commission, in our command. If we're going to continue, it will be by His strength and in His direction. And in Acts 2, we see a group of new believers, new members of the church here at Jerusalem. And the scriptures say that they continued, not aimlessly, but they continued in some very important things in some very important areas. And they didn't just continue half-heartedly, they continued, the word is used, steadfastly, which means firm, immovable, set, and fixed in place. They began that course and they fixed their direction upon the direction that God intended for them. And these areas that we see here in Acts 2:42 are areas that I believe this year Foundation Baptist Church needs to continue in, not just for this year, but forever. And if the Lord allows, in the course of the preaching of this year, I'd like to take time to preach a series of messages on each one of these, at least a message for each of these. We don't have time to go into the weeds with all of these this morning, but we need to continue in some things. And I want to highlight those. We need to continue in sound doctrine. We need to continue in sound doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine. Now, a lot of times when we think doctrine, We think of a piece of paper that says maybe doctrinal statement or statement of faith on it. And it's important that as a church we define what we believe. And that is our doctrinal statement. That is what we believe the Bible to teach. And we hold to that. And we're not going to change to what the Bible teaches. We also want to understand that this word doctrine, it doesn't just mean a dogma that is preached and a piece of paper where it's all written down. It literally means teaching and preaching. Doctrine is defined as that which is taught, whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. Doctrine is what? Is given through teaching, through preaching, through instruction. But you know what I find in Scripture? We find this idea of doctrine. It's not all doctrine is true. In fact, so much so that in Proverbs, Solomon had to tell his son, "Hang on, listen to me. I give you good doctrine." Why? Because there are so many out there that are going to give him bad doctrine and bad teaching, and they're going to say all of these things and teaching and preaching them as true. But he says, no, son, listen to me. Incline thine ear to me. Why? Because this is true. This is true doctrine. This is sound teaching. Matthew 15:9 says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I'm afraid many churches have teach for doctrine the commandments of men, and that's led them in a wrong direction. And later down in that passage in Matthew 16, when Jesus turns back to his disciples and and explains them to them about the leaven of the Pharisees. It says, and then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So continuing in sound doctrine means to continue examining the Word of God and listening to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and adhering to it. And you know, the doctrine that they continued in, it was right and it was true. The doctrine that they continued in, and I would go so far as to say, is exactly the doctrine and the teaching that we are to continue in today. Well, what was it? Which doctrine was it? And I think you know the answer to it. It was the apostles' doctrine, it says right there in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. These new converts, these new members to the church, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, heard the preaching of the apostles and were drawn by the truth of it and were convicted by the truth of it, and they subscribed to it and they believed it. They bought the truth, and let me tell you, and they sold it not. They believed and they continued to hold to the truth and continuing in sitting under their teaching. In the epistles, we see Paul reference this idea of staying true to the sound teaching that's given. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14 through 15, the Bible says this, whereunto he called you by our gospel, not saying that they possessed the gospel and it was of their origin, but it was the one that they preached, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. What is he saying? Stand fast in the Word of God. Stand fast in sound biblical teaching. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We also see something happen when Paul is instructing Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So we see there's a cycle here. And if we back up, we understand that these new converts were continuing in the doctrine of the apostles. Well, where did the apostles get their doctrine? If it's passed down, where did it come from? And I think you know the answer to this. The doctrine that they continued in is the doctrine and the teaching that the disciples continued in, and is the doctrine and the teaching that we are to continue in. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ himself. How many times in the Gospels does Jesus turn to his disciples, and whether it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, he says, and Jesus taught them saying, and Jesus taught them saying, and Jesus taught them saying. How many times, and I think of the passage in Luke where the apostle comes to him, the disciple comes to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray. Their doctrine, their understanding, the source from which they are drawing from to teach these new believers comes straight from Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I'm afraid many churches have departed so far from the teaching of Christ that it's no wonder that their candlestick has been removed. If we're going to continue as a church, it will be because we are steadfast in our observance of Christ's doctrine and his word. And I find it interesting here in verse 42 that every avenue in which they continued in was tied directly to the teaching and instruction of Christ himself. We must continue in sound doctrine. Continue in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Continue in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to continue in sound doctrine. I pray that the Lord would help us this year to continue in fellowship. Fellowship, I think we can define it with three words: communion, partnership, companionship. Communion, not in the sense of the Lord's Supper, we're going to get to that in a moment, but communion in the idea of having things in common, identifying with one another, having things in common. And we find that they had things in common in a very practical sense here in the early church, so much so that they sold their stuff and gave to one another. Literally, their things were in common. In the most literal sense of the word things. Acts 2:44 through 45, read down, it says, and all they that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They literally, their stuff was shared between each other. But also, we find that they had things in common in the sense that they were the same. They identified with one another. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion," there's that word, "hath light with darkness?" If you find as you're out and about in the workplace and you're finding that you identify more with those out in the world than you do with those in your own local church, there's been a breakdown in fellowship. There's been a breakdown of how you see yourself in the person of Christ. And if we're going to fellowship as a church, we need to understand that our people are right here. It's not that we're isolationists by any stretch of the imagination. Not at all. But we've got more in common with the folks right here than anywhere else. We have communion, fellowship. I think of the word partnership. Partnership means having the same goal. Two business partners get in a partnership together. They have a same mission statement. They have a same goal. And in the same vein here, we as Christians, we as church, fellow church members of Foundation Baptist Church, we're in this together. We're in this together. The growth of Foundation Baptist Church, the outreach of Foundation Baptist Church is not simply the duty or even the something that should be only given attention to by the pastor or by the so's and so's. No, that's all of our business. We're in this together. The Great Commission is given to all of us. We're in this together. We have the same goal. Ephesians 5:11 says this, an interesting thought, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Listen, we don't have the same life goals as the world does. We go out and we explain our situation and the decision-making process we're in and wrestling with, what am I going to do in this situation? And your coworker at work says, "Well, just," and he says something that's godless. "I know the solution, just..." They don't understand. We don't have the same goal. We don't have the same system of morality. We don't have the same identity in the person of Christ. Now, we want to rend that person. That's not what I'm saying, to isolate yourself from those people. But you understand, in the fellowship of the church, we have the same goal, to be conformed to the image of Christ and to reach the lost. And these new believers, these new converts here, they join forces together with the apostles to work together. They have the same commission, to reach the lost. I think of the word companionship when we talk about fellowship. They had need of one another. They were friends with one another. Hebrews 10:23-24 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful hath that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me tell you, you need to be in church. We need you here, and you need to be here. We need each other. It's mutually beneficial for each and every one of us to be in church, to fellowship with one another in church. And I'm afraid many churches fracture and split and even cease to exist because of a breakdown in church fellowship. And illustrations are many. And most of the time, the fractures in cliques that form in a church form over the silliest of things. They form over the silliest of things. But when we step back and we realize that, hey, we have things in common, we have the same goal, we need each other, that sets some things straight. When the fellowship of the church breaks down, when the fellowship breaks down in a church so much so that the members believe that they have nothing in common with the other members, that they don't share the same goals and life goals with the other members, and would rather even not spend time with one another, that's a recipe for disaster in a church. And this year, as the Lord allows, I want to put into focus the things that we have in common as fellow church members and share our goals and our need for one another. We need to continue in fellowship. The church relationship, let me tell you folks, is like any other relationship. It takes work to grow and to deepen. It takes work. We need to continue in fellowship. Number three, we need to continue in breaking of bread. You say, well, is this talking about the Lord's Supper, or is it simply talking about eating together? The answer is yes. It's both. It's both. I love that, because then I don't have to decide which it is. It's both. It's both. And I believe it really is both, because at the institution of the Lord's Supper, when did it take place? As they were eating. At the end of the meal, it says in Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup, next phrase, after supper, they were eating together, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. And at the in the early church, in the first few years of the early church, it really does seem that the Lord's Supper and the observance of communion, or the Lord's table, if you'd like to call it that, was held in conjunction with a meal shared with one another. And it wasn't until Paul wrote, I believe it's 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, where he had to say, it's getting a little too crazy. Let's simplify and let's separate the two. It wasn't until then that we see that separation take place. And so we, in this one phrase, and they continued in breaking of bread, we see two things, two realities here, that they continued in eating with one another, sharing meals with one another, and observing the Lord's table, observing the Lord's Supper together. They continued in these things. And I'm excited to tell you that on March 26th, we will be observing for the first time as a church the Lord's Supper. That's going to be awesome. Look forward to preaching a little bit more about that as we get closer. And this year, I pray more than last year, we spend more time eating together as a church. You say, well, that's carnal. No, I believe it's scriptural. In fact, I hope, as the Lord allows, to do some preaching on the benefits of eating together as Christians. There's something special about it. I look forward to expounding this more, but sharing meals and eating together as a church, I believe, is a healthy part of church fellowship. Breaking of bread. Back in the Bible times, their bread, it wasn't cut with knives, because it was a flat bread that could be easily broken with the hand. And the person at the head of the table, or who the host, would take the bread and break it and divvy it up. It was very, very much an intimate setting. You know, when we announce a church fellowship, and you within your heart begrudgingly say within yourself, well, great, now I have to go eat with those people. That's a problem. That's a problem. That means church fellowship has broken down just a little bit. If you're a member of Foundation Baptist Church, let me tell you, these are your people. Warts and all, these are your people. And I firmly believe that a church that eats together stays together. It's in here for a reason. I believe that. Lastly, we want to continue in prayer. Where did the apostles learn to pray? Well, they learned it straight from Jesus Christ himself. Luke 11:1, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I believe that a church that does not continue in prayer together as a church is in danger. I believe a Christian who doesn't have the prayer life that he should is in danger. Prayer is prayerlessness is a problem. Leonard Ravenhill said this, the choice in America is this, either we will concentrate in prayer or we will pray in concentration camps. Make your choice. That's convicting. What is prayer? I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can go into automatic mode when we pray, and it becomes to asking God for our list of things. And God certainly does want us to supplicate and ask for things. But in Acts 1:14, this is literally the spirit that they're continuing in, just this previous chapter, Acts 1:14, it says, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the Mary of Mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Do you notice the two words there? One accord in prayer and supplication. So there was a part of supplication that was asking for requests, and then there was a separate part of prayer that wasn't asking for anything. Prayer was more than just asking for things. I, as I often do, as I study words and do word studies and preparing for preaching, I like to reference Webster's 1828 dictionary. It gives good definitions, biblically minded definitions for words and some even archaic forms that we don't use today. And a lot of times I will read the dictionary and just praise the Lord for how awesome that was put. And this was one instance. I was looking for the definition of prayer in the Webster's 1828. And he said this. This is as good as any Bible commentary I've heard on prayer. Listen to this. A solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration or an expression of our senses of God's glorious perfections, confessing of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for His mercies and benefits. That's a pretty good definition of what prayer is. It's more than just, Lord, give us this, give us that, give us this. It's spending some time worshiping God and just praising God for who He is and what He has done. I believe as a church, we've got some room for improvement in this area. And I personally believe that I've got some great room for improvement in that area. I personally need to work on this. I'm looking forward to studying more in prayer and teaching and preaching more on prayer this year as we continue in prayer as a church. And with churches closing their doors all across America, the question remains, how do we keep our doors open here at Foundation Baptist Church? And I believe the answer is simple. We continue to advance. We keep moving. We keep moving. The minute we get a posture of a defensive posture of just holding a holding pattern, we're in danger. We need to continue to advance. Continue advancing in sound doctrine and preaching and teaching. Continue in growing in fellowship as a church and breaking of bread and observing of the Lord's Supper and continuing in praying as a church. I'm excited to see what God has for us in this next year. And I pray that as we look ahead to the year and have projects we have in mind and things that we want to do, we don't lose sight of the fact that our work is not physical, it's spiritual. And we need to be about His commission. We need to be aggressively advancing on course with our commission and our command that Jesus, our Savior, has left for us. That's our theme for the year. Let's continue. If you would stand with me as we bow for prayer. I want to spend a moment here at the conclusion of the service just praying and asking the Lord to help us in these areas. Dear Father, as we come to You, Lord, we're burdened because we need You this year. Lord, You've manifested Yourself evident in the work that You've done here at Foundation Baptist Church over this past year. But God, we understand that we can't do any of the things that were done this year without You. And we look ahead to this next year knowing very well that we can do nothing without You. Help us, Lord, to be a church that continues on. Help us to be a church that continues in doctrine, that continues in sound biblical study and preaching. Lord, help us to be a church that stays on course and doesn't get sidetracked by winds of doctrine that are contrary to Your word. Lord, help us to continue in our relationship with Christ. Lord, help us to continue in fellowship as a church. Lord, I pray that 2024 would be the year that You knit our hearts together like we've never experienced as a church. Help us to fellowship together. Help us to serve and love one another. Help us to identify the things we have in common. Help us to forgive one another and forbear one another. Lord, help us to be a church that fellowships and shares meals and time with one another. Help us to find friendship in this church. Lord, help us to be a praying church. Lord, if we fail as a church in any way, it's because we fail to pray as we should. Help us to be a praying church.